Zalango, this is Connecticut Taco. What you're about to hear is a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation that was first aired Saturday, February 16, 2002 at 11:30 p.m. entitled The Human Rights Patrol Part Number 54, File for Your Reparations. Your guests will be out of the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, the real famous Dada Dia Kentaco. Out of the Criminal Enterprise called Chatham, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, professor in spite of the criminal operation called the University of Illinois at Springfield, good white source, Mike Townsend. Your host will be out of the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, runaway slave, Kaka Mbana Kentaco. Have a pleasant flight.
folks' status up in this land, it is clear.
Our folks are still held hostage, won't ask questions, ruled by fear.
See, Uncle Sam does know he owes our folk a big time debt. He knows his lies can't help him, troops our weapon will collect. We're talking reparations, that's right, we know we are old.
Cause for 11 generations, in here we were bought and sold.
See, this crook called Sam did come up when he made our folks his slaves.
His posse did the same in Europe, and yes, they too must pay.
The lesson, the mind on thyself will help us all move forward.
We're taught it will teach us by self to rise to tote the torch.
Like those days we were to be down, yet unhooked from our souls.
Seeking truth will turn that around with the human rights patrol.
We know that we have rights. That's right, rights at our birth. That's right, those rights are human rights. They show our purpose on this earth. It's time we know that we have rights. That's right, rights at our birth. That's right, those rights are
People's Choice Human Rights Radio, giving praise to our uncreated creator for allowing us to still be with you for our 4,624th night of broadcasting here in the Criminal Enterprise Guild, Springfield, Illinois, at 106.7 FM. It's Human Rights Radio. Time for the Human Rights Patrol and in the place to be with we out of the Criminal Enterprise Guild, Springfield, Illinois, to help us get this thing started. Co-producer of the Human Rights Patrol, War Correspondent Commander in Human Rights Radio, Air Force, Dada Kanadi Kentaco, and Zalango to you over there.
Zalango.
It's time for volume number
54.
And, you know, of course, you got to give a shout out to those who make it possible for so many folks to hear the Human Rights Patrol across the criminal enterprise called the United States and around the planet Earth.
We're going to say Zalango to Human Rights Radio at 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Yahuru and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the criminal enterprise called Decatur, Illinois, at 99.9 FM. Human Rights Radio, Brown by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP, in the criminal enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew. And at 96.3 FM, in the criminal enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, run by Paul Griffin and the crew. And to our newest listeners in the criminal enterprise called Dade County, Florida, at 102.9 FM, Zalango. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also invite all of you to check us out on the real wide web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
Ain't gonna lie, there's groups and individuals around the criminal enterprise called the United States and around the planet that are scrapping with these dogs that call themselves in charge day in, day out to bring some, you know, clarification to the people so people can make more positive decisions about what to do. But those who take up their position on the line with these low-power transmitters bringing folks information, you need to look them folks up if they're making this program possible for you to hear and let them know you appreciate it. Because speaking from a cat that's, you know, been here on it 4,624 days through all kind of drama, hey, I know if you can do that, that'll keep them going, okay? And you who listen know that you done kind of got used to learning things that have proven to help you better direct your life. And that's what this Human Rights Patrol thing is about. Bringing us information that's going to better help us make decisions in our life. Because our elders teach us our ability to live a positive existence is going to be based on our ability to define and decode the things that are going on around us. And that means know what's happening, know what time it is, so you can make things happen in a way that ain't detrimental to you all the time no more. You know what I'm saying? Because there are things going on, and they're being organized by forces. But those forces ain't good to us. And the record shows that. And you know, I'm going to tell you my most serious concern at this point for African people right now. And it's not simply because of the dollar or nothing like that. It's about a spiritual thing. It's about an attitude change. It's about reclaiming our mind, reclaiming our dignity, our pride. And so with me right now, the most serious work we're doing here is the reparations thing in the African community. And it's all over the African community. You even got the little Aunt Jemimas and Buckwheat screaming reparations. When they get mad, of course, then after that, they like, we can do without, but that's their bit. We're not trying to hear no conversation against it. The only folks that's going to bring it, way we figure, is only two kind of groups. One, they got to be stone cold out their mind, or some that are so cold-blooded and calculating, they sat down with the dogs that did this to us and said, hey, it's all right, too. It was a come up for us, and that's what we planned it for, and we ain't studying them. In either group, we're going to need human rights, divine order to deal with them. So we really know that it ain't going to be because of nobody's good heart that we're going to get our money. It's going to be because that's the law. What go around, come around is the first law in divine law. And everybody know that. Mayat, karma, whatever you want to call it, grandmama said, they're going to get theirs. That's what my grandmama used to tell me. They're going to get theirs, baby. Don't worry about that. And that meant we'll go. And so if we put in the demand, then we'll be on the receiving end of what comes from making the right demand. But if you don't put in the demand, you can't expect to get your reparations. And I'm going to tell you something. If African people were in our right minds at the end of slavery, this ain't a very hard one to figure out. After 400 years of being bred like dogs and done every low-life thing you could think of that was done to us, I mean, and things you will never think of they did to us, okay? It's about a business. It's a business thing for them. And ain't no different than trying to, you know, get the most out the rubber plant investment. You know what I'm saying? That's all they look at it like. Well, when you think about that, for us to have stayed, agreed willingly, voluntarily, to stay with them in 1865 when they did the so-called emancipation, they did it. It didn't mean anything, but they did it, other than that they really exposed how evil they was, because not only did they do this crime in the first place, but they lied with the emancipation and said they quit. And because you don't know Latin, and you don't know in Latin, emancipate means mancipor, and it means to free from one's hand, but not from one's control. So you're still a slave, and you don't have to like that. That's simply the way it is. If you're not willing to define and decode the phenomenon as it is, you'll never bring the proper resolution. Well, our family, the Kentacos here, we're about the business now of filing with the federal court for our reparations through the Self-Determination Committee headed by Dr. Robert Brock and the folks filed paperwork December 9th of 1965. That's why, you know, I have no doubt that they're the ones that we should be listening to in terms of how to go about doing this thing. They're the ones that, you know, that was the year they killed Malcolm. And for that group to have stepped forward and filed in papers in court, that shows straight up kind of folks we need to be dealing with, okay? To me, now, I'm not going to tell you. You might want to go, you know, deal with whoever. It doesn't matter to me, okay? This is where we're going, because I think that the evidence, if you do some research, will show that this is the direction to go. So we couldn't do this program here at Human Rights Radio, since that's what it's about. So Kanadi and myself and, well, the whole Kentucky family that stays here at 1113 North Fifth Street here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield, we had to go somewhere, and we had to hook up with someone. In fact, there was associate professor in spite of the criminal operation called the University of Illinois at Springfield, good white source Michael Townsend. And we'll let Michael tell you what everything is all about, well, where we're at, and then we'll get into what it's all about. My tape won't play. Let's see here. Let me try it again, because it played earlier.
And we're in a conference room here waiting for one of the university employees who happens to be a notary public to come in and assist us with the activity that you came out today.
And the activity for today is we're going to file the family here. Dia's here. Kanadi's here. Ebony's here. We got Kadia here. And Kabao's here. He's sleeping. And we're going to fill out our claim forms here for the reparations and turn it over to the Self-Determination Committee headed by Elder Dr. Robert Brock. And, well, we got Kanadi. We'll get somebody over here with a claims form. Dia, you're going to copy off of mine, basically, right? And so you're going to fill out yours, and the first line you're going to fill out says?
Certificate of eligibility registered in the name of.
And so she'll write?
via Kentucky.
If you get an application from Dr. Brock and his group that's on the web, you can get it at www.directblackaction.com. And so Dia and everybody's filling out, Kanadi and Ebony are going to fill out their claims forms, and in a while, like Michael said, one of the employees from the university is going to come in, notarize them, and then we're going to put them with our money rollers and send them in to Dr. Brock and the committee so they can go take them to the federal court and file. Michael, you sent me an article recently that really kind of helps folks put it in perspective. It was on reference to the people of Japan being violated during World War II in this country, and reparations was, in fact, the remedy that was brought, wasn't it?
Right, and the excuse that's given for giving reparations to Japanese people but not to black people in this country is that those Japanese are still alive. And, of course, I don't think we have any official slaves still alive today, so that's what they say. We can give reparations. This reparations are due to people who suffered in the past and are still alive, and therefore we owe them some payback. However, unfortunately for you all, 35 million people, the slaves are dead.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're not really the offended party in this case. So
right.
Blacks aren't eligible for reparations. Sorry.
That's the argument put forward. But let's go back to, what's this guy named Anderson? Remember, he was taken hostage, not in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And was it a Lebanon?
That's right, Terry Anderson.
Terry Anderson, right. And he sued for reparations. Now, of course, he could never get it from the folks he sued. But it so happened that the U.S. had access to a bunch of them folks' money. Now, they agreed that he was entitled to reparations because they violated him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here's what they also ruled. His wife, who was not taken hostage, was entitled to reparations.
Yeah.
They also ruled
mental
that,
anguish, huh?
Yeah, and check this out. She was carrying a baby.
Oh, no.
It was not born. It was suffering. Entitled to reparations, even though daddy came home. Huh? Now, so, the precedent is already there. And I think
Are they all still alive? I'm sure that would be the argument.
Well, that depends if they cash the checks yet or not, right? If they cash the checks, probably not. That would be the American way. But I think the history is absolutely complete. You got folks still being paid from World War II atrocities. You know what I'm saying? Folks are demanding that Japan pay all the people of Asia that they violated during World War II for the things that they did. I mean, everybody in the world has received.
It seems to me that it's more than just a matter of violation, and no one was more violated than the blacks and Indians in this country. But the violation of these people occurred in a way that produced profit for the owners.
In fact, let's go further if we review the Constitution clearly. It was organized to pursue. The violations were organized to accumulate profit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You go to Article 1, Section 8. Good brother come out. He done woke up. Article 1, Section 9, Clause 1 of the Constitution. It says clearly that people that are imported. Now, what people generally get imported into a country? Are they free people?
Not when they're imported.
No. People that are imported into this country can be made to do whatever the folks that import them want them to do with nobody interfering with them as long as they give the government a $10 tax. Now, isn't that kind of like an incentive program to steal people?
Yes, it is.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then you tell them, well, these folks ain't people anyway, so that's okay. And then you guarantee them that if these folks run away, Article 4, Section 2, Clause 3, that everybody in the land is duly deputized to participate in their capture. Now, isn't that complicity beyond, anything we've ever imagined?
Right.
Because, most of us were taught that after the Three-Fifths Compromise, there really wasn't nothing about slavery in the Constitution, am I right?
Right. But still, that's only, we can't measure this in halves, but let's say that that's only half of it. That's the direct theft, sale,
mm-hmm.
violation
mm-hmm.
Of any human right that you can find in that. But after that occurs, then these people work to develop the land,
mm-hmm.
produce the crops,
right.
build the buildings, develop the crafts, and they do this as slaves,
right.
which means that the only thing that they get is a minimal amount of food, shelter, and clothing to enable them to continue to produce that profit.
Exactly.
Now, just think, how many slaves do we estimate came to this country and worked under these conditions?
Our elders teach 100 million, and some say 12 million.
Okay. Yes.
We'll be right with you in 1 second. Okay. Everybody about done filling that out? When y'all get done filling out, we're going to have her come in and do that. That's an excellent point, Mike. And one point we always try to stress is, if in 1865 we were in our right minds, the ex-slaves, right? Mm-hmm. And they said you were free. If we were in our, what would have made us want to stay? If we were in our right minds. I mean, what was done that would have said, unanimously, we will stay. We're going to, this is a great thing. What made, I'm going to tell you what. You can write all the things you want, but when you look at the backs of the people in 1865 on December the 19th, what was still on their backs? Scars. Mm-hmm. What was in their souls? You see what I mean? Now, you cannot say, okay, it's over with. Let's forget it.
And what I'm talking about is what was in the bank.
Woo! Well, you know.
See, now, you just indicated there's somewhere between, 12 and a million slaves came to this country? Over how many years? 100 million.
Over 300 years?
Over 300 years. Okay. Let's just get down to practical economics. What would the value of 1 hour's work from a worker back at that time be?
Mm.
So you have that millions of people working for how many years?
300, 400 years almost.
Okay, now that has got to translate into not billions in trillions. Today's money. That has to translate into trillions of dollars. Of profits and of infrastructure that was built in this country, that and the profits did not go naturally to the builders, but went to the owners. Now, if you're passing, now what happened to that? What happened to that? Those trillions of dollars of money.
Let's see.
Did
now
it just disappear?
Point it out. What
it went to somebody.
It got passed down.
It got passed on somehow.
Now, where does 90% of all new money come from?
You tell me.
Old money.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, since...
Right.
And what's
right.
the number one cost of business?
Labor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a come-up.
Yeah.
That's a straight come-up. Yeah. Well, we probably better get the notary in here before she has
so
to get
actually,
in.
To summarize this, I mean, you know, you have two very sound bases for this. You have the physical, mental suffering,
mm-hmm.
You know, the dehumanizing on one hand. And then you have the tremendous wealth
really?
That were created by this people.
Here's something that was brought out to me that I never thought about. Rape. You never hear black women complain about rape in this country, do you?
Not often.
You know, one of the things Elder Dr. Robert Brock pointed out is because after you've been bred, rape is a come-up.
Mm.
Think about that. Being bred for 400... Mm. You know, not only were you violated in that way, but you had to bear that... seed mm-hmm. for 9 months with the knowledge it was going to be sold.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you couldn't have had no man that was allowed to be around you because no man would have tolerated that, right? Mm-hmm. So you talk about the psychological damage that had to be done to a people to make us, and I think it was the New York Times, July 13, 2001, Slavery Fellow Travelers by Eric Foner. I always quote this article because it points out that at that time in 1860, the total value of African captives that were called slaves at that time was $3 billion. You talked about the significance of the money that was accumulated. That was more than the total value of all banks, railroads, and factories combined at the time. So there was no nation. There was no nation without slavery.
Okay, now this has just been a very brief discussion of the foundation for a claim for reparations. And I'm sure that in future programs you go into much more detail. But that brings us to why we are here today.
Right.
As a result of what we have just discussed, you are going to file a claim which asks for what?
We're asking for reparations as a descendant of African people who have been violated by law, by this government, for, you know, from the time we were first over. So we're asking the amount... Well, you know, you can't really put a dollar amount on it. I mean, it's just, it would blow your mind to think about how much that would have to be charged. So we're filing a claim through the Self-Determination Committee with Dr. Brock. We fill out this, get it notarized, turn it back in. They're going to take it to the federal court and put it on file. So when we win, because, and I know we will, because, you know, that's a universal law. And when we win, we'll be, now, if you don't file a claim, when we do win, you will not get nothing. They know, you know, Uncle Sam, you didn't sign up.
So you're basically entering a legal process right. under their laws.
We're offering the opportunity for the government to nonviolently do the right thing. Since right. everybody's screaming that we're so, you know what I mean?
Right.
This is the process that has been recognized by people of the planet to resolve a grievance as like the one. There has never been a people violated in this way, this long, ever. So not only am I, but Dia also, Kunati also, and Ebony also is going to get their claims filled out. Dia, you finished filling out yours?
So you're going to use this in one way to further expose the hypocrisy of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the day comes, the day of reckoning comes.
Right. We're on record.
Right.
We're on record. We're on record. Not only, mainly, not. I don't think it's as much significant among me as much as with the court as right. in the eyes of the Creator, in the eyes of the children that come. This is something we have to do, African people. It's part of recognizing that you are not the criminal in this situation. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Righting the historical wrongs. Now, I'm going to be honest. I would not fall for that term indenture. I think it meant the same thing as us. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage, I've always said this, I would say that whites should probably be filling out these claims too.
I sent you an article just the other day that had some figures on the number of indentured people in the country. When you get a chance, take a look.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take a look at that because, you know, that either one was not good for the folks right. that claim they were free. What kind of bargaining power do you have?
Really?
Right? So, Dia, we got Dia over there. You got your claim.
Okay, I'm going to go get Pat Austin.
Okay.
Pat's an employee here. She's also a patron of the Marcus Garvey book sales that we have out here twice a year. So it's good to have a supporter be involved in this process.
Right. Well, we're going to, you know, it's going to take it to the next level. That's for sure. Dia, you got your name on your first line there. And the key question on the form here, y'all, set forth by the Self-Determination Committee is, your status before and after 1865. Dia gonna answer that. That's Brother Kamal putting the baby interpretation on it. What you got?
Did read that?
Yeah.
Did you, your foreparents, ancestors, and their antecedents,
that's those before us,
before them ever obtain or have the right in the United States and its jurisdiction to inheritance, reparations, and self-determination before December 18th, 1865?
The answer would be no.
No. Or after December 18th, 1865.
And you'll say no, because you still ain't got it. Because somebody should have said after 1865, well, here's all the money y'all folks accumulated. They didn't get it. Here it is for you. You never got it. So we have the notary.
Okay, Pat's here.
Okay.
Right.
Pat, and I guess I got to sign mine first, right?
Okay,
have I signed mine? Everybody signed?
Let's make sure where you signed.
Yeah, she'll know there. The notary public is in the place.
Here's the signature.
Okay. Okay. So sign mine. And then she's going to put the official seal on. Okay.
This is where you
sign.
Right
below.
Okay.
Yeah. So this one is in banners. Get that one over here.
All right. Sign.
Right here,
on the right line here.
This one right here.
Where
the X is.
Yeah,
right there.
Right there?
Yeah.
Okay.
You got it?
Yeah, I think.
X.
Let me see.
Move up a little bit. Okay.
Ebony got it. Ebony got to fill out her own because she's 15. If she was 14 or under, like with Kanata, you put Kadia and Kamal on, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because they're 14 and under, they can go on Kanati's because she's their mother's claim form. Right? So, that's cool. We're going to get them all notarized here, y'all. And, Pat, we appreciate your help.
No problem.
Patience.
How many interviews have you done with Dr. Brock?
I think we're up to 80-minute shows. And invite anybody to get a chance to hear them, listen to them, because they're really good.
Kind of a radio lesson on the Constitution.
Very much so. Constitution, yeah. You can't really develop a conversation about the struggle until you comprehend that, because that tells you the ground rules that those in charge laid down for everybody to play by. See. And, of course, we were straight crossed out of it.
It's like
Fraser's book. You've had your students
at
read
some
it.
Some point, somebody
really needs points
to sign here, too, but not me or him.
Okay, is that going to be the person that files?
That might be.
The person that files in the
So this is make checks or money orders payable through self-determination committees.
Yeah, I think that somebody there signs.
Yeah, that's for them to sign.
Right,
after it comes in. Yeah. Okay, so we got our part done. Yeah, Brooke Frazier, 5% of the white males can vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, so everybody need to read that. You know, since they always remind us that it was very tricky. So if you go read it, you can't argue. Give me everybody. It's Dia and me. Okay, so Ebony's next. Kanadi next. Ebony's next. Now, as we explained to Dr. Brock and the folks with the Self-Determination Committee, we're going to do them like one a month. You know, mine went in the first month, Dia's going in February, Ebony in March, and then Kanadi will be in April. So a lot of y'all out there won't be able to, you know, do it all at once either. So that's how you do it, you know.
If they want to pick up one of these forms, can they buy the place?
What they need to do is get a hold of the Self-Determination Committee. Then they'll get their claim number already on their form, you know what I mean? They get a blank form, then they still got to go back and get all that done. So get a hold of the Self-Determination Committee. You can get a hold of us at Human Rights Radio, 79-0038, or drop by 1113 North 5th Street here in the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, or in the Criminal Enterprise called Decatur. It's 545-8279, area code 217. Bayview, Hunters Point, California. You can reach Brother Michael. He can help you out, get some more information. Area code 415-822-5954. And on the East Coast in the Criminal Enterprise called Durham, Brother Inko and Dada Sharon will be able to help you if you give them a call at area code 919-596-3549. So it's coast to coast. You want some more information on it. Of course, you can reach the Self-Determination Committee at P.O. Box 15288, Washington, D.C. And they'll send you more information on it. And if you get one of these flyers, copy it, pass it around. It's the hottest conversation going on everywhere. Everybody's talking about it. And why not? Everybody broke. You can't think of a better conversation than how to get paid. All righty. There's all
four. Thanks
a lot. Appreciate everything. Well, folks, there it is. Everything is done now. Well, the next thing we'll do is put these in the mail to the Self-Determination Committee, and they'll take care of all the federal court work. And if Michael, you know, where we've been to the court a few times, and that's one thing that we can thank Dr. Brock's group for doing is taking care of that part for everybody, right?
Right.
Because they do not, they ain't nothing nice up in the courts. They get tricky with that paperwork. So they're going to take care of all that. Kanadi, it's about time for us to get out of here. Those of you have been checking this out, we're just going to call it Power for Your Money. Michael Towns has been our guest, but Kanadi, you better shout out to the folks who make it possible for so many folks to hear this program across the criminal enterprise called the United States and around the planet.
Before we do that, maybe we should tell people about being a notary.
Right. That's
It shouldn't be too difficult for people to find someone who has a notary. Usually you can go down to City Hall or... you don't like to go down there, but check around. And
the county building, you're going to be down there anyway. You're going to be down there. On your way out. Because you know you can't do it on the way in.
Sometimes at in the grocery store, back in the office section there where you cash checks or whatever, sometimes they have a notary public. So,
right. So find one. You got to find one. And when you find one, make other people aware of where they're at so that they can... Because it's someone that has a stamp. There's a stamp that has to be put on certain papers, recognizing that they have been official. Right?
You know, in fact, we ought to explore the possibility of having Dia become a notary public. I don't think it's all that difficult.
Well, we're going to need one.
And then people could come right by the house, and Dia could notarize. We'll have to check into that.
Check into both, Kanadi and Dia. Get them both. That way we'll have a bag of, right?
Yeah.
For each other. Well, that's right. Now, don't forget, you got to get everything that you get done notarized so it's got, like, official certification on it. That's kind of like a postmark, you know, like that. But anyhow, Kanadi, Michael.
Thanks a lot.
Kanadi, you want to tell the folks who make it possible for so many to hear this program?
We're going to save the lingo to Human Rights Radio at 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Uhuru and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Decatur, Illinois, at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, Burned by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BBHP, and the Criminal Enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew.
and at 96.3 FM in the Criminal Enterprise called Santa Cruz, California. Those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio run by Paul Griffin and the crew. And to our newest listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Dade County, Florida at 102.9 FM, Zalango. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also invite all of you to check us out on the Real Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
Beautiful, beautiful dot. And let me remind folks, for more information on the reparations movement, get a hold of and check it out. You know, we do our research. And of all the things that we've researched, this is one that we've been at for quite some time. And there's not been a more consistent group on the case than the Self-Determination Committee. That's why, you know, we at Human Rights Radio are bringing them to your attention. So you can check them out at www.directblackaction.com. Now, this group, Dr. Brockenden, filed this claim back on December the 9th, 1965. I don't think there could be a more profound response to the cold-blooded murder of Malcolm in that year than what the Self-Determination Committee did. And I think we owe them the support. And we owe it to ourselves and to our ancestors, you know what I'm saying? Here, as we do this program, they enter this President's Day thing, and that reminds us that folks get strength from remembering those of theirs that came before them, and we need to do that too. I'm going to thank Michael Townsend for being our guest, and we're on the fifth floor of the Public Affairs Center on the campus of the Criminal Operations called the University of Illinois at Springfield, here in the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, at the very south end of town. And in our studios, in their studios with us tonight, out of the Criminal Enterprise called Chatham, Illinois, has been War Correspondent Commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, Associate Professor, in spite of the criminal operation called the University of Illinois Springfield, Good White Source, Michael Townsend. And we also had Pat, the notary, out here in the PAC to come in and do the notary for us. I'm in Bannerman Taco. Diaz is here. Ebony's here. Kamau's here. Padilla's here. And you're listening to The People's Choice. We're in our 4,624th. Kanadi's here. You heard her. The co-producers. Yeah, she's here. Man, I'm telling you, you're listening to The People's Choice because the people choose to listen to the Human Rights Information Network. We will remember the humanity.
We will remember the humanity.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
And honor the struggle of our elders. We will strive to bring new values.
We will strive to bring new values.
And new life to our people.
And new life to our people.
We will have peace and harmony among us.
We will have peace and harmony among us.
We will be loving.
We will be loving.
Sharing.
Sharing.
And creative.
And creative.
We will work.
We will work.
Study.
Study.
And listen.
And listen.
So we may learn.
So we may learn.
Learn so we may teach.
Learn so we may teach.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will struggle to resurrect.
And unify our homeland.
We will raise many children for our nation. We will have discipline. Patience. Devotion.
And
courage.
We will live as models.
To provide new direction for our people. We will be free and self-determined.
We are African people.
Aluta!
Continua!
Kufala!
Kufala!